So, this is, I guess, what is my first installment of my video diary. I am just utterly frustrated and reaching the point where I feel like I don't know how much more of this I can take. It's beyond overwhelming. It is crippling. And there is nothing I can do to change it.
It was around noon on May the 5th, 2004. The water was calm and it was hot outside. A murder was the last thing on my mind that day, until we got the call about the suitcase. My name is John Runge with the Virginia Beach Police Department Special Operations Marine Patrol. I patrol the Chesapeake Bay, the oceanfront, and the intercoastal waterway. I got a call from a fisherman stating that he had found a suitcase floating in the Chesapeake Bay. I opened the bag up, unzipped it, noticed that there were trash bags, black colored trash bags, in the suitcase. Once I peeled the trash bags back, I saw a pair of human legs from the knees down.
5 days later, another suitcase washed up on the shores of Fisherman's Island. Inside that suitcase was the torso of a white male. His head and arms were still attached.
This is a general area where the third suitcase was located by a fisherman and his wife. At that time, pretty much everybody knew if you found a suitcase floating out here, what was going to be in it.
My name is Beth Dutton. I am a forensic specialist supervisor. I've been in forensics for 17 years. This was one of the most brutal crimes that I had seen. The fact that somebody can dismember another human being like a piece of meat is just something that's very disturbing.
The victim was eventually identified from a sketch. The victim was William McGuire from Woodbridge, New Jersey.
My brother had the kindest heart of any person that I've ever known. He always had a smile on his face. You were always happy to be with him.
I haven't had any opportunity to mourn him. I don't even know how to mourn him.
My name is Melanie McGuire, and I was married to Bill McGuire. When I heard how my husband was killed, I was in complete disbelief, and I could not imagine what he went through.
I did not believe that Melanie McGuire was a grieving widow.
I can't make anybody believe what they don't want to believe.
I believe that she was responsible for her husband's death.
I did not kill the father of my children. I did not kill my husband.
But he keeps saying, well, the worst is over, the worst is over. Is it?
The McGuire Diaries.
Everybody says you just gotta hold on, you just gotta hold on. I don't know if I can anymore.
3 months after the body of Bill McGuire was found in the Chesapeake Bay, his beautiful wife was not only a widow, Melanie McGuire was also a murder suspect.
I'm just kind of numb at this point, and when the numbness subsides, it's sort of interspersed with terror, so.
48 hours gave Melanie a camera to document her innermost thoughts and fears.
Pretty talkative today, considering how wiped out I am.
Melanie shot these video diaries in the quiet of her bedroom near the Jersey Shore. They capture her in her most private and tortured moments.
I can't keep up the momentum. I can't keep up the pace.
Shown here for the first time, they are a rare glimpse into the mind of a complex woman, some say is a caring mother, others say a calculating killer.
I can't help but think that if I had made better decisions along the way and left the marriage earlier, that I wouldn't be sitting here.
It is the last place anyone, especially her mother, Linda Camporeiro, ever expected to find Melanie.
She was every mother's dream. A good girl, never got in trouble, very supportive of her family, happy, wonderful, wonderful student.
Melanie became a nurse.
There were several times where she would see an accident on the side of the road and she would stop the car and go over and assist. She was always there for people.
It was a quality that caught the eye of 28-year-old Bill McGuire, a veteran of the U.S. Navy.
He was one of those people that just had a gift. He could talk to anyone, anywhere, anytime.
Bill's sister, Cindy Lagosh, says from day one, Bill and Melanie were a perfect match.
They were equals. They both wanted the same things out of life, or so I thought.
The couple married in June 1999.
It was a fairy tale wedding.
All right, ladies, here we go. One, two, three, let it whip.
Everything it could have been and more.
Mr. and Mrs. William McGuire. Yeah.
Less than a year later, the McGuires had their first son. Melanie went to work at a fertility clinic, and Bill began teaching computer science at a technical college.
Was it a happy time for you?
It was. I saw Bill morph into kind of the family man that he always wanted to be, and it really touched me.
But as with so many couples, Bill and Melanie's relationship did not withstand the test of time.
I can't say his fault, my fault. Things changed, and we were no longer able or willing to meet in the middle.
By the birth of their second son, the couple had grown even further apart. One reason, according to Melanie, Bill's frequent trips to Atlantic City.
Would you say that Bill had a gambling problem?
Yes, yes. For him, it was a goal. He needed more money. He wasn't somebody who could sit there and be content with what we had. It was always, it had to be a step better.
Melanie says Bill became increasingly erratic, even volatile. She remembers one night he called from the road in a rage after getting a speeding ticket. She hung up on him.
He called back, cursing any number of obscenities at me, and told me that if I was there when he got home, he was going to kill me.
Did you believe him?
No, but I was scared.
Despite the ongoing battles, Melanie agreed to buy a new house with Bill.
If you were so unhappy, why would you bother to look forward to the future?
For the
kids. That's a 15 to 30 year commitment.
For the kids. Even though we weren't happy, we weren't ending this marriage anytime soon that I could see.
They would never move into that new home. On the night of April 28, 2004, back in their apartment after the closing, Melanie says they got into the fight that finally convinced her to leave Bill. Believe it or not, it was all over a simple dryer sheet.
He hated them. He hated them. And I always left them in the pile of laundry. And from there, the fight progresses to me getting slammed up against the doorway and getting the dryer sheet shoved in my mouth and slapped across the face. And at this point, one of the kids is there. I grab him, scoop him up, and lock myself in the bathroom.
What was he saying to you through the doorway?
I'm going to take the kids, and you'll never see them again.
Melanie says Bill packed his bags and stormed off in his car. 2 days later, she filed a restraining order.
With that restraining order, he could not go to school and pick up the kids and take off with them, and that was my biggest fear.
But Bill never tried to contact Melanie, their kids, or anyone else. He simply vanished.
Thursday, I started to call him, no answer. Friday, I started calling more frantically, no answer at any of his numbers.
As days turned to weeks, Cindy questioned why Melanie had not filed a missing persons report.
It wasn't that out of character for him to have a tantrum, pick up and be gone.
3.5 weeks later, with still no word from Bill, Melanie filed for divorce.
While Melanie McGuire was taking measures to end her marriage, Virginia Beach police were analyzing those matching suitcases found in the Chesapeake Bay. A fingerprint check confirmed. The man inside the luggage was Bill McGuire. But who killed him? And how did he end up here? More than 300 miles away from his home in New Jersey. Do you believe all three suitcases were thrown off this bridge?
Yes, I do.
CSI investigator Beth Dutton quickly determined that Bill McGuire was shot in the head and torso with a .38 caliber gun. But other forensic evidence was far more difficult to come by.
The suitcases were saturated with water. It just destroyed a lot of that smoking gun type of evidence that probably was in the suitcase. The water became my greatest obstacle.
As investigators continued to search for clues, police informed Melanie her husband was dead.
I couldn't feel the ground under me. And I was devastated.
But there was one clue that caused investigators to question the grieving widow. A blanket found wrapped around her dead husband's torso was the very same kind of blanket used at the fertility clinic where Melanie McGuire worked.
I just have to try to go on. So we'll see what tomorrow holds.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
People call and friends call and they want to know how I'm doing. And I feel better when I talk to them, but until I get to that point, I don't want to talk to anybody.
Melanie McGuire says she was devastated by her husband Bill's death.
What is the last thing that you remember saying to Bill?
You'd have to edit it.
Give me the gist.
F you.
That's the last thing you said to him.
Yeah. And I have to live with that.
I immediately knew that his wife had done it.
Bill's sister, Cindy, refuses to believe that Bill had been violent with Melanie.
I know my brother. He would never lay a hand on a woman.
You never saw him abuse her?
No.
Emotionally?
No.
Physically?
No.
Verbally?
No. And anyone that knew Melanie knew that no one would get away with that. No one could do that to her.
She insists Bill would never abandon his children.
He wanted to spend all of his time with his family, and that's what he did.
I had contacted Melanie McGuire on her cell phone.
Virginia homicide detective Ray Pickell says Melanie reluctantly admitted those suitcases belonged to her and Bill.
We just felt that she was holding back some information, a lot of information.
She hinted that her husband's trips to Atlantic City may have put him in contact with some shady characters.
She informed us that her husband liked to gamble, that her husband had a knack for pissing people off.
Bill's car was found in Atlantic City. Even so, Pickell believed Melanie was misleading him.
When you have a husband that's missing, but nobody's reported him missing, yeah, she immediately becomes a suspect.
The police searched the McGuire's apartment, their storage unit, Melanie's car, but found no murder weapon, no tool used to cut up Bill's body. In fact, there was no evidence of a crime scene.
The investigation seemed stalled. Police desperately needed more evidence, working on the theory that Bill McGuire was likely murdered in his home state. Police here in Virginia handed off the case to New Jersey. There, the investigation would really begin to zero in on the prime suspect, Melanie McGuire.
It was our case now. So we began to look at it and just come up with an investigative plan.
New Jersey State Police Detective David Dalrymple checked gun sale records and quickly hit pay dirt.
Melanie McGuire had purchased a Taurus 38 Special revolver.
The gun, one like this, was bought just 48 hours before Bill disappeared. Melanie says her husband wanted it for protection. He couldn't buy it himself because he had a felony conviction, the result of a horrendous driving record.
I wanted it to at least be a registered weapon, so I said fine.
Months passed, and that gun was never found. But prosecutor Patty Prezioso was determined to make a case against Melanie.
Everything pointed straight to her.
She believes Melanie concocted an elaborate story to explain Bill's absence, beginning with that fight.
Is she just flat out lying?
I believe it's wholly made up, yes. I don't believe that it occurred.
The restraining order, divorce petition, and hints of shady characters, says Prezioso, were all part of Melanie's cover-up.
There was nothing that we found to indicate that Bill was involved with any criminal element whatsoever.
So the investigation intensified.
One of the techniques we used was to perform, for lack of a better word, a covert investigation.
Melanie's phones were tapped.
Hello?
And she was put under surveillance. The covert operation soon uncovered a secret. His name? Dr. Brad Miller, Melanie's boss. They had been carrying on an affair for more than 2 years.
He's looking for attention, affection, understanding. And I found it there. And I am deeply, deeply ashamed of that.
Detectives believed they had finally found Melanie's motive for murder.
You did love him.
Yeah.
But Dr. Miller had a secret of his own.
I mean, if you want us to stick together, I gotta know everything now.
The police convinced him to betray his lover. So with tape recorders rolling, Dr. Miller asked Melanie pointed questions.
You swear you had nothing to do with
this? Yeah.
Detectives didn't stop there. Jim Finn, an old friend from nursing school, was also enlisted to secretly record conversations.
What about the gun?
What about the gun? I don't have it.
Melanie never confessed on those tapes. But through her friends, the police got another big clue. They learned that Melanie was in Atlantic City the night after she claimed Bill left her. She says she went to look for him, found his car, and then drove it to another part of town.
I wanted to spite him. I wanted to piss him off. I should be, if not fearful, at least cautious, but I was just so angry at that point, so angry.
How believable is that story to you?
Not believable at all. To believe that she just happened upon his car is simply incredible.
Prezioso says Melanie made up that story after the media reported police had video of someone parking Bill's car.
Why do you think she went to Atlantic City?
I think she went to Atlantic City to plant the car.
The video turned out to be useless. Too much glare. But Melanie had now admitted to being the last known person in Bill's car. The evidence was piling up.
Did you kill Bill McGuire?
No, I didn't.
Did you have anything to do with his murder?
I did not.
Did you have anything to do with the cover-up of his murder?
No.
The police believe they now had enough. The blanket wrapped around Bill's torso, the gun Melanie bought, and her secret lover. 13 months after those grisly suitcases surfaced in the Chesapeake Bay, Melanie McGuire was arrested for the murder of her husband.
I was walking out of my older son's school, and out of the bushes come two detectives.
Patty Prezioso was confident she could prove that Melanie McGuire shot her husband, dismembered him with a reciprocating saw, and then drove 300 miles to dump his body.
Is it probable that she had assistance? Yes, it's absolutely probable.
Prezioso will not say who the possible accomplice may be, so Melanie alone will stand trial.
What would you say was your biggest challenge going into the trial?
We had a defendant who is quite beautiful and is not the type of person to look at her could commit such a horrific act.
Wow. I think if somebody turned around and confessed to Mara, she wouldn't want to believe it. I have to figure out what to wear tomorrow. And that sounds like a completely shallow concern. And I'm reasonably certain that it is. But you know what? It is one of the very, very few things I can control right now. So that's what I'm gonna do.
9 months after Melanie McGuire was arrested, she stands trial for the murder of her husband, Bill.
Are you afraid?
Oh my God, terrified.
Good morning, members of the jury.
She has been free on bail, but under intense scrutiny.
When people remark that, oh, she's got cold eyes. I love that one. That's my favorite, cold eyes. First time as a murder defendant, and I don't quite know what the etiquette is.
There's no doubt that she did this.
Prosecutor Patty Prezioso is prepared for battle.
She planned for her husband to disappear, and disappear he did.
Did she have one single mistake?
Her mistake was killing her husband.
Is she capable of committing a crime like this?
No way. Just no way. Not physically, not mentally, not emotionally.
Melanie is represented by a courtroom star, attorney Joe Tacopina.
She's holding up very well. It's getting to her, that's for sure, and you feel it because the time is near.
He and partner Steve Toronto say Bill may have tempted his own fate.
When you have money out on the street and you're behind and you're not making payments, you know what happens? You get shot here and you get shot here.
The state, they say, stubbornly focused only on Melanie.
There's no evidence that shows she did this. There's circumstances.
I object to that.
There's no hardcore evidence.
When you have circumstance.
She purchased a handgun.
After circumstance.
This is a side view of the suitcase.
After circumstance.
There was a blanket.
I think it's very, very compelling.
Ms. Prezioso, call your next witness.
I do know Melanie O'Gard.
As the days go by, Melanie watches her life pass before her eyes.
Melanie McGuire has been a nurse with our practice.
We were co-workers. We were colleagues.
They bring in people that I haven't seen in years.
We took their honeymoon with them.
And what they try to do is have them testify to some fact.
Melanie said that they had gotten into an argument.
It's like watching ghosts file into the room.
And her question to me was, have I seen Bill?
She did ask me a question about divorce.
Just these memories, these apparitions of the life that I once had.
Melanie was stressed out.
And the one thing that I'm struck by time and time again is that they talk about me like I'm dead.
Melanie was an excellent nurse.
Patients loved her.
It's just sort of this ominous past tense.
She was a great nurse.
And Richard today, when he was testifying.
She is a great nurse.
Made eye contact with me and said, she still is. And I almost cried. I hope it meant something to the jury. I know it meant something to me.
Would I be shocked that she was a good nurse and a good friend to some? I would believe that that's the case. But sometimes very nice people do very horrific things.
Yes, Judge.
In this case, the prosecutor says, the crime was cruel and calculated. She believes Melanie drugged Bill before shooting him.
The defendant somehow administered chloral hydrate.
Using a powerful sedative obtained with this prescription that someone forged on the pad of Melanie's lover, Dr. Brad Miller.
It could have brought him very close to death.
But no evidence of the drug was found in Bill's body.
And that test did not show the presence of any chloral hydrate byproducts.
That is correct, sir.
The state argues his body was found too late to test. Then there's the matter of the searches conducted on the McGuire home computer just days before Bill disappeared.
What was the search term?
Instant undetectable poisons, how to purchase guns, how to commit murder.
But as the defense shows, that may not be as bad as it seems.
You have absolutely no idea of knowing who actually conducted the searches that you talked about, correct?
No, I don't.
There are other searches seconds after the so-called incriminating search where it's a website or a site that only Bill McGuire could access. It's password protected.
Preziosu admits she cannot pinpoint when or even where the murder occurred, but she has a theory.
I believe it happened in the apartment.
That apartment, particularly the bathroom, was painstakingly searched.
Not once, not twice. They went into the apartment five times.
All to no avail.
And not one piece of forensic evidence to be left there. Not blood in the drain, not a piece of skin in the vents.
Prezioso shrugs that off, suggesting Melanie did a thorough cleaning job.
We have somebody who is very bright, who was doing computer searches and research on how to do this effectively.
Perhaps the strongest evidence against Melanie McGuire is the very story she herself has told, especially that part about coming here to Atlantic City looking for her husband. Remember, she said she came here, found his car, and then moved it out of spite. That would have been just hours before she filed a restraining order against him.
Why would you go down there? It just doesn't make sense.
It's not logical. It's not logical at all, and I acknowledge that.
Me moving his car is something that, you know, to anybody who knows me seems so natural and so me, you know, so passively spiteful, yet at the same time not overtly confrontational. I just gotta wonder, will the jury believe it, you know?
She didn't think that the suitcases would come up, and that's what made her come up with all these different stories, and that's how she got caught.
My brother and I were very, very close.
4 weeks into the trial, Cindy Lagosh takes the stand.
Today we had Cindy's testimony, and that was quite a treat.
By now, she is Melanie's bitter enemy and has temporary custody of Melanie and Bill's children.
My brother's best friend called me and just told me that they found Billy in the water.
It was incredibly frustrating because she came off very sympathetically.
Sweatingly.
To the point where when she was crying, I started to cry. I'm exhausted. I'm so tired. I didn't realize, I don't think, how much I've been dreading her.
The trial is taking its toll on Melanie. And she is feeling the wrath of the prosecutor.
With her? I am scum. Did I sleep with her boyfriend in high school? Did I, you know, did I beat her for a role in the high school play? Was she married to a doctor who left her for his nurse? What is so personal about this to her?
It was not personal at all. This was a murder trial. It wasn't a tea party. I wasn't there to become friendly with her. I was there to do my job.
And part of that job, she says, was enlisting help from people once close to Melanie.
Were you in love with the defendant?
Tired of paying for channels you don't watch? Well, a new select package by Sling gives you a curated lineup of live and on-demand TV you actually want. With channels like Fox News, NFL Network, FX, FS1, and more, starting at $19.99 a month. There's even some 4K content. And in designated markets, subscribers get local broadcast networks too. No long-term contract, no hassle, just the live TV you love. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more. Restrictions apply.
Tonight, I think I just sort of need to get myself mentally in the zone because it's going to be an absolute experience in surreality tomorrow.
It is the moment Melanie has been dreading, facing off in court with two men who betrayed her. First up, her old friend, Jim Finn, who describes how Melanie told him Bill was dead.
I felt like I was the director saying, action, and she went, he's dead. It sounded phony to me.
Finn had been in love with Melanie since nursing school, a feeling she never returned.
So today was Jim Finn's testimony. It was infuriating.
Police were doing a murder investigation, and they said, will you help us? And I said, sure.
Finn was just sanctimonious and self-righteous.
Really, Detective Cronenfeld is interrogating the defendant through me.
Hello?
No, I'm really scared, dude.
In his secretly recorded phone conversations, Finn pumps Melanie for information.
Mel, my ex is on the line here.
You want me to tell you I did it when I didn't?
What occurred with him recording me was just reprehensible.
You yell at her at points to give you something, right?
Sure.
You talk to me now.
What do you want me to?
I don't know. Give me some information. What am I going to tell these people?
But then, Attorney Joe Tacopina digs a little deeper and exposes Finn's real reason for interrogating his friend.
You felt betrayed when you found out the woman you were madly in love with was having an affair with the doctor that she worked with, correct?
That's correct, sir.
Jim disappointed me, but didn't entirely surprise me. The other one cut to my very soul.
The state calls Dr. Bradley Miller.
I would love to be able to just cross the board, despise what he did, write him off, and be done.
For the first time in 2 years, Melanie comes face to face with her ex-lover, who the prosecution claims was her motive for murder.
It was so bizarre to see him, and so anxiety-provoking.
Sir, did there come a time when your relationship with Miss McGuire got more intimate?
Yes, it did. She was about 38 weeks pregnant. Before she went on maternity leave, we had oral sex in the office.
You know, a lot of people look at that and go, Melanie, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking, here is somebody who thinks the sun rises and sets over me anyway.
Were you in love with the defendant?
Yes, I was.
And did she tell you she was in love with you?
Yes, she did.
Just to hear him say how much he had loved me, I just died all over again.
We were hoping to be together in the future, to buy a house and have kids together.
I want to hate him. I really do, and I can't. And it is so painful. So painful.
It becomes even more painful as she listens to his secret tape recordings in court.
You swear you had nothing to do with this?
Yeah.
And your children's lives, if I'm standing by you.
I still care. And I don't want to care.
Hang in there.
You're too worried about you.
And I don't want to cry. And I don't want to keep living this loss over and over and over again, between the loss of my family, of my husband, for better or for worse, of the father and my kids, for Brad, my whole life.
On cross, Tacopina uses Dr. Miller's own words to poke holes in the state's theory that Melanie murdered her husband to be with him.
Never once, not before the death of her husband or after, did she ever ask you to leave your wife, correct?
No, she did not.
You had made it clear to Melanie that you were not planning on leaving your wife anytime soon, correct?
That's correct.
After 2 grueling days on the stand, Miller returned to his new home in Michigan with his wife, his children, and his job at another fertility clinic.
If you could say something to him now, what would it be?
How could you? How do you live with yourself? How do you sleep in bed next to your wife every night, still lying to yourself? How could you?
After 5 weeks of prosecution testimony, the defense gets its turn. Tacopina comes out of the gate confident, saying the state not only failed to find a murder weapon, a motive, or an accomplice, it failed to prove its own theory that Melanie shot and dismembered Bill in their apartment.
Impossible for that crime to have occurred in that apartment without there being a piece of evidence. Impossible for a neighbor not to hear gunshots. Impossible for the neighbors not to hear, a reciprocating saw sawing through bone.
Impossible, says Tacopina, for this loving nurse, mother, and friend to commit such a ghoulish crime.
Defense, call its next witness, please.
A parade of fiercely loyal friends and patients.
She was my nurse.
Best person I've ever known.
Take the stand to drive home that point.
I have multiple sclerosis, and I was a complete vegetable. Melanie really helped me get back into shape.
She's very caring and honest, and I'm sorry.
Allison LaKelsey has known Melanie for 20 years.
Even in your heart of hearts, are you absolutely sure that Melanie had nothing to do with Bill's murder?
Especially in my heart of hearts.
Best friend Celine Trevisas is just as sure.
Melanie is not a vicious person. She doesn't lose her cool. She doesn't have that in her at all.
But will the jury get to see that side of Melanie McGuire?
I need to be prepared to testify. I mean, if I were a juror, I would want to hear it from me. But I understand the concerns that the attorneys have, which is why you've already been cross-examined by two people you loved and trusted.
Have you made a decision regarding whether or not you wish to testify?
Yes, Your Honor.
And what is your decision?
I wish to remain silent.
Closing arguments begin.
They saw what they wanted to see. They heard what they wanted to hear. No one was investigated besides Mom McGuire.
Not even those shady characters Bill supposedly angered in Atlantic City, says Tacopina.
He was a big gambler, ladies and gentlemen. He gambled beyond his means. There's no question about that.
But Prezioso says Bill McGuire's only real enemy is sitting in the defendant's chair.
Don't let drama, don't let looks keep you from doing what may be an unpleasant task.
The way they've presented it, it's damning. And I'm scared. All right, I think that's about enough for tonight. What would I say to the kids and to my family if I couldn't come home to say it?
In the privacy of her bedroom, Melanie McGuire prepares for the worst while she waits for the verdict.
To the boys, I hope you never see this. I hope you don't have to. I love you more than life itself, and I would never have taken your father from you.
I loved my husband. Was I in love with him anymore? No, but we had kids together. We had a life together.
Why do you think people should believe you, given this mountain of evidence? It's circumstantial, but it's
because this
bad.
Is not who I am. I have spent my life, my professional life, giving people life, trying to bring life into the world.
But I am so afraid to feel optimistic, to feel hopeful. I get this knot in my stomach, and if I really think about it, it's unimaginable. How I'm going to stand there, how I'm going to find my feet and physically stand there while they read that verdict.
Deliberations spread out over 4 days.
See you guys tomorrow.
Counsel, I'm told that the jury has reached a verdict. Are we all set?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, sure. Yes. Let's bring the jury up.
How do you find us at the count of the indictment charging Melanie McGuire with the murder of William McGuire?
Guilty.
Melanie McGuire is found guilty of murder.
I was crushed, just crushed.
12 people were able to say going to convict her beyond a reasonable doubt based on the state of that record was shocking to me. You know, and then I was dealing with the raw emotion of what was going on there. Melanie's literally pulling on my lapel and my arm. She's telling me time and again, I didn't do it. My kids.
I felt responsible, not because I killed my husband, because I didn't, but because if I hadn't stayed with him this long, if I hadn't had the affair, if I hadn't moved the car, if I hadn't bought the gun, these people I love, let alone me, wouldn't be in this kind of pain right now.
It was the worst moment of my life. It was like a death, hearing those words and seeing her face and just knowing that these 12 people could think that she killed her husband.
My ears started buzzing once I heard guilty, and I didn't hear anything else. Just tremendous, tremendous relief.
Melanie is taken into custody and put on suicide watch. Three months later at sentencing, Bill's sister Cindy defends her brother's character.
His heart was filled with compassion, kindness, and generosity towards others. He never held a grudge, was quick to forgive and forget, and would help anyone in need.
The crime was so heinous, so cruel, and so depraved that the court finds that the maximum sentence should be imposed.
Melanie McGuire is sentenced to life in prison.
It's absolutely indescribable. The hell for me, the hell for my family. This is my life now. This is what I have to deal with.
But she remains defiant.
I can't make anybody believe who's convinced that I've done this, that I didn't. All I can continue to do is tell the truth, and it's not the most flattering truth, but it's the truth.
Melanie McGuire will be eligible for parole in 2073. She would be 100 years old.